Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and this is an awesome joy for me because one of my former grad school, we're going to say it up front, one of my former grad school colleagues at American University, Jay Jameson. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
A little success story. He's just completed and is screening his directorial debut feature film called Try. Right. Here at the, why don't you explain what festival we're going to?
Okay, yeah, so it's screening on Tuesday, April 26th at the Nova Film Festival at the Angelica Theater in Fairfax.
It's a gorgeous theater, too.
It's an amazing theater space. We actually went to kind of preview the screening and make sure all the levels and everything was great. It was just an amazing theater.
when that theater first opened, I went and saw Vertigo there, and I was like just freaking out. But now it's so cool to think that one of your movies is there, too. Yeah. And also, his producer here on my left side.
My name is Ted Adams. I'm the co-writer with Jay and the producer of the film.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I want to get into sort of chronologically, your backstories and how this thing was made. But at the top, let's start by saying, just what the movie's about. It's called Try. Someone take it away.
All right. So the film Try follows the story of Natalie, who is she's an ultrasound technician who is inspired by one of her patients to sign up for a triathlon. So the thing about Natalie is she's famous for not finishing anything. So when she signs up for a triathlon, it's like, all right, is she going to follow through? Is she going to be able to complete this task? So the film follows her journey as she joins a tri team, meets some of the characters in the tri community, and we get to see her as she grows as an athlete and as a person.
Love it. Okay, so let's back up a minute. I want to learn your backstories, and then we can go chronologically into how this sucker got made, because I think it's a cool success story, so let's attack it that way. First of all, sir, how did you get into producing?
Okay, so basically what I did was I've always been interested in making movies, but my real day job is defense contracting. I own Unified Industries Incorporated. It's been around for 46 years, but doing defense contracting work is not quite the same as making movies. So the passion really is in making films.
Did you grow up in Virginia?
I grew up in Virginia. I went to St. Stephen's. It used to be called St. Stephen's Episcopal School for Boys back in the day, but now it's St. Stephen's and St. Agnes School. Then I went on to school in Texas at Rice University and UCLA and Chinese University of Hong Kong and Harvard, and did a lot of things scholastically. But again, the real passion for me is making this movie. And I was a career soccer player. I did soccer I played in college and semi-pro. But when I couldn't play soccer anymore, I got into triathlons. And the first triathlon I did was an Olympic distance race, was a nation's triathlon, which is held here in Washington, D.C. So I joined a group called Team and Training, which raises money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society for cancer research. And I saw some tremendous people, heard some phenomenal stories for cancer survivors or people who are doing triathlons and dedicate for cancer research for people who've lost loved ones to cancer. But hearing all these stories just gave me an idea about doing a scripted narrative about triathlons. So I drafted one up with another person, Monica Lee Belay, who's a local screenwriter. And
You're a co-writer on the script.
Yes, I am. And then we put together a draft. We had a lot of great interest in it. And then Russell Williams, who was a person that was brought to the team, two-time, you met Russell.
Just in case you got, Russell is me and Jay know him very well. He did the sound on, and won an Oscar for doing the sound on Glory in 1989 with Denzel and Morgan Freeman. He won another Oscar for doing the sound on Dances with Wolves for Kevin Costner. Did a bunch of other movies like Field of Dreams, you've heard If You Build It, He Will Come. That's our guys recording that. It blows me away to think that. But anyway, so Russell has been very nurturing, I know, of you, what you're saying about Russell.
So I asked Russell, so give me some names from some directors that you think we could work with, and he gave us a list of folks from AU graduates, mm-hmm. and one who got my attention, I looked at all the names and looked at what they had posted, and I saw Jay's work.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by Speak Now, which was
the thesis film that made the whole thesis screening crack up. Jay, tell them.
Please take a pause and tell them
what that one was about.
Okay, so Speak Now is a film about a woman who comes home for her sister's wedding, and she has this master plan of trying to get her divorced parents back together, and she attempts to do so with the help of her new boyfriend, who is a mime.
There's the catch.
There's the catch. So it's kind of a zany comedy about a woman and a mime who are trying to get her parents back together.
So that catches your eye.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that Jay could tell a story, and that was the most important thing for me. I'm also chairman of the Stan Lee Foundation, and Stan always taught me, make sure whatever you do a story, the story's got to be solid. So when I showed Jay the script and the draft, he had some ideas. So we went through some stuff, and I said to myself, well, not only can Jay direct, but he's a great writer. So, you know, he asked to make some changes, and the next thing you knew, we're at page one rewrite. And Jay's redoing the script and doing a phenomenal job of it. So we took it from there, and we were able to bring in Kimberly Skirm, who's a casting director from House of Cards, and some local talent. We got as much talent as we can get from the Virginia, D.C., Maryland area, and we just blew up from there. And then Jay did a great job. We work with three local triathlons, two in the Luray triathlon, and then the Nations triathlon, which is one of the largest triathlons in North America. So that's what we did.
How'd you get it financed?
That's a good question.
Is it a little of your own cash?
It's a lot of my own cash. Yeah, I pretty much did all the financing for the movie either through big borrowing. I didn't steal anything, but we did get it done. And the budget went way higher than we projected, because we actually filmed three live races, and we embedded our own actors who were not triathletes into real triathlons.
Are we allowed to say the budget? I mean, because I'm always interested in low budget indie, you know, to see how you guys pulled it
off. Yeah, we if you look at IMDb, you'll see that we are at about $1 million budget for this film. And it was it's still considered low budget. Yeah. Not by my standpoint, but yeah, it's technically it's considered a low budget movie, but it's coming out looking like a $20 million movie. I mean, that's what we've been getting here. We just got back from Boston International Film Festival, and we were gracious enough to win the Best Storyline Award. So you know, we're one for one, and we're hoping to bring home some awards with the Northern Virginia International Film Festival.
Hopefully, keep it rolling. Yeah. So Jay, take me back to that moment when he's contacted Russell Williams and he's watched your movie, and then he reaches out to you and says, "I think we could have you direct this baby, this pet project of his."
Right. The whole process was kind of a whirlwind for me, because so Russell hits me up on Facebook, right? I'm at home. I'm hanging out. I just finished working on. I was a visual effects assistant on season two of Turn on AMC.
You also helped on Lincoln, right?
And I worked on Lincoln right when I graduated from AU. Both of those things shot in Richmond, Virginia, which is where I'm from. And so I'm just at home, you know, just checking emails, and I get this message from Russell saying, "Hey man, where are you? There's some folks in Northern Virginia who are looking for a director for their project. Can you send some of your work?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." Mm-hmm. So I send Russell my stuff, and Russell forwards it along. And then I guess about a couple days later, maybe a week later, I get an email from the production team, and then I'm on the phone with Ted, and I'm kind of talking through, you know, some of my influences and what I think the project should be. And then the next thing I know, I get an email from Ted saying, like, "Hey man, you ready to do this? Let's do this." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah." Like, At that time, I honestly didn't even know. I didn't know that was him saying yes. Right. I thought that was just like, I didn't know I'd gotten the job. Right. So
Did he accidentally hit send or what?
Right, exactly. So then I come up to, and the first time I meet him in person. Yeah. We hadn't even interviewed in person, but I guess he had seen the film and phone conversations. We hit it off really well. Like, we were really on the same page from the beginning in terms of what our vision for what this project could be was. And so when I came up, we met in person, and then it was off to the races, literally, because we had a set date where we were filming at these triathlons.
Yeah.
And so this was the end of June, first week of July. And we had to, you know, we had to get a script rewritten, department heads cast, hired, cast finalized, all of that stuff happening within, you know, a month and a half to be ready to film at this triathlon.
Wow.
So it was really a whirlwind
Is it take me to so the first time you heard sort of the synopsis, the pitch of what this thing was, take me to sort of that initial creative spark on your end that allowed you to be like, "All right, I can get on board with this." Is there something personal that said, "Oh, I this is sort of my thing?"
Absolutely. So I had never done a triathlon. I'd never been to a triathlon. So as soon as I was hired, the first thing I did was I looked up where the nearest triathlon was that weekend. And so there was one in Hampton, Virginia. Just by pure chance, there was one in Hampton, Virginia. So I grabbed my sister was home for the summer. I grabbed my sister. We got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, drove down to Hampton to watch this triathlon. And the thing that struck me instantly was the sense of support, the vibe, the community, the fact that there were so many people there that were running for causes, that were running for their own kind of personal achievements, their own personal challenges, the people who were the volunteers that were there who were helping these people achieve these things. And it was fun, and it was positive, and it made me feel good. I left that triathlon with this big goofy grin on my face, and I said this is
what's still there, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
And I said this is what the film needs to be. Like, I want people to leave the theater with a big goofy grin on their face.
Right.
So that was, you know, once I had that idea of like, okay, this is the tone. It was a lot of discussions with Ted, because a lot of these stories and characters are based on people that he knows in real stories. And they're kind of amalgamations of characters and athletes and people who are battling cancer and people who have gone through these personal challenges. It's like all of those characters find their way into the film. So it was just Ted and I talking through a lot of the stories that he had, the people that he knew, and then I would find my own way into it as well, in terms of thematically, as getting into the characters and my own personal experiences. So it's kind of this marriage of all of these connective things that we've gone through in our lives, this connective tissue.
And what sort of, tell me about what the experience was in terms of, you know, collaborating with him on rewrites and things, because I bet you when you first, you know, in your mind's eye, you probably thought your first film you'd be directing something that you wrote, and, you know, extremely personal. But
right.
Explain sort of like, you get a script and you're like, all right, I need to find my own way in. And, you know, what was it like realizing, you know what, my debut is going to be someone else's script and I'm going to try to marry our ideas?
So I think the thing that made this whole process so wonderful is how collaborative Ted was. Like, this is his baby, right? This is his baby. He is his original idea. It's based on stories and people that he knew. But he also was very aware of the necessity of collaboration, especially making film, bringing other people in and embracing their ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that we have a very similar aesthetic in terms of the things that we find funny, the things that we find moving and inspirational, in all of that worked together, so it was a very easy collaborative process with me and Ted. There are characters and moments where so there's a character in the film who is a former pro triathlete, and we come into her story when she has just finished her cancer treatment and she's gone into remission, and so now she's back training, but she's not as strong as she used to be. And so then we're following her journey as she's trying to, you know, she's trying to push herself, but her body won't let her do what she used to be able to do. And she's frustrated because she's got that athlete's mentality. She's got that thing where it's like, she can't let it go. She's got to push.
Right.
And there was, that character is based on a real person, that Ted knows from his team. And I took those ideas and I kind of and I got into that character from a real person that I know, who was a college swimmer who had a cardiac arrest at 20, and you know, they she was touch and go. They weren't sure if she was going to live, and she did, and she has, and so now she has these scars and stuff, but she's alive and she's working out and she's getting stronger. And so it's one of those things where, and this is the beauty of film, I think, is that you can approach something from a lot of different angles, and you eventually tell a greater truth through those lies almost, like, right. Where it's like, you know, it's like this amalgamation of facts creates this character that is more true and that people can relate to, right. And is more universal.
Universal, yeah, yeah. Somehow. How about, I'll pose the same question to you about the collaborate. Did you have to kill any personal puppies or babies in the script? You know, did you have to, you know, what was the collaboration like from your end?
No, I mean, Jay just, the example Jay just gave was a great example, because in this case, the character he's talking about, the original idea was the woman was doing her first triathlon. And I go back to a story when I've done two Ironman races, and I should finish two Ironman races, and I've done a lot of Olympic races. I'm a professional coach. But back when I was first getting started, I did a race with team in training, and we were in Hawaii, and a very good friend of mine was in a race. She, she had gone through the bike, swim, the bike, and she's on the run. Now, she had survived cancer 10 years before that, okay? So she was, she's doing very well. But this was her very first triathlon. And I saw her during the run, and she was like, limping around, and she was in tears, and I felt horrible. And I said, are you okay? Are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. Just keep going. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. And then I said, kind of get someone for you. I'm not going to win the race. I'm just going to hang, make sure my friend's okay. And she insisted I keep going. So I went ahead and finished the race. She finished about an hour later. Okay. And she comes walking in, and she's again in pain. They had to put her on a stretcher and take her away. But and then she stayed in Hawaii for I guess another week, because that was her plan. Not until she got back to Virginia, because she's a school teacher, she found out that she had broken her hip during the race. So this woman had literally gone 6.2 miles running or walking, but just moving on a broken hip and didn't know it was broken. But that kind of tenacity is the kind of thing. And her brother got involved because when she was going through cancer treatment, was trying to support her. So that's one of the stories that inspired me to do the movie. And when I talked to Jay about that particular character, that's when he's the one who said, well, let's make her a pro and do it a different angle. So the pro idea came really from Jay, but it's based on my experience with this person's pushing through, and then Jay's experience from what he'd seen a person pushing through.
Creating a character that neither of you probably would have had on your own, but together.
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, the movie Try is really about transitioning, because our local team that's in the movie is called T3 Hanu. Mm-hmm. There's three transitions in a triathlon. There's T1 is your swim to run, swim to bike, T2's from bike to run, and then T3 is the unofficial finish line. So you basically cross the finish line. You become a triathlete. You become an Ironman. Yeah. You become
and then a T800 is Terminator.
Yeah, exactly. you become a finisher. So what you'll see in this movie is a lot of people who are transitioning in some capacity, whether it's surviving or just achieving or whatever. But it's I think it's not just for triathletes or runners. It's for people who just. Yeah. Want to overcome something and make themselves better in some capacity.
Therein, is there a double meaning intentionally in the title there?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Absolutely. Awesome. Okay, so we've gone a lot into the conception and the screenwriting and the collaborative process and your visions marrying those together, all that. So let's move into pre-production a little bit. How did you go about... did you storyboard the shot list? Did you have any other sort of films in mind? Did you watch, I don't know, Rocky or, what is it that you sort of, your visual approach?
Visual approach. So we got a great director of photography named Jendra Jarnigan. She's based out of New York. And, she came on board and really elevated what we were able to do with the project. And that came from her being extremely, extremely meticulous and prepared. We have so many spreadsheets and things from this film. It's ridiculous. So the way I work generally is I do shot lists. We storyboarded
instead of storyboarding.
We storyboarded a few key sequences with little thumbnails, but I generally I do a shot list.
Because you're cutting it all in your head anyway.
I'm cutting it all in my head.
You have the storyboards up there.
Exactly. I grew up making films where I wrote, directed, shot, edited. So all of those processes help the other process. Yeah. So I'm thinking like an editor when I'm on set, and I'm which has helped tremendously in the sense of saying like, okay, well we only have time for one more shot.
Right.
So what do we need to tie the scene together, to make this thing work? So So Gendra came down, and we talked a lot about what we wanted the film to be and look like. The thing about this film is the first narrative scripted film about triathlons. So there are a lot of documentaries.
Is that true? There's never been one about a triathlon?
There's been
one that was done in France years ago,
okay,
but it never got distributed.
Wow. Yeah, there was a made for television film in like the 80s. That was
at the very least, it's the first American,
theatrical release.
Yeah.
Wow,
no doubt about it.
That's a nice little niche.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there have been plenty of documentaries about Ironman and other triathlons, and you can find like even mini documentaries and promos and that sort of thing. So I didn't want the film to look like a documentary. That was my initial thought process.
No cinema verite here.
Yes. So we were very careful to try to limit those sorts of techniques. When we use handheld, we use Steadicam.
Gotcha.
You know, we would frame things in a way where it looked cinematic.
Right.
The flip side was I also didn't want it to look like it necessarily like a Nike commercial all the time, where I didn't want it to be overly stylized and overly. So finding some sweet spot in between of a naturalistic cinematic look was important. And then also we just talked about general themes of, you know, the world of triathlon is very bright.
Mm-hmm.
You have very bright colors, all the jerseys, all of the paraphernalia is neons and bright colors. And having that juxtaposed against our main character who spends like her life is in a dark room to start. So it's like getting her out of the dark room into the world and nature, and so
you visually set up that contrast of the dark, claustrophobic, and then the outside, and then
bringing her into the world and the outside.
Talk about how that sort of, because I feel like a lot of our listeners, you know, most people passively go to the movies and whatever, but talk about how that almost works subconscious wonders on an audience. Why academics get caught up in mise-en-scene and all these high ideas, but it's not just theory. It actually kind of works on you subconsciously.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the key thing is that you have a consistency of theme and approach. So we approached it from an idea where we're looking at it like this is our goal. But we're also practical in the sense of making the film and making a low budget film where it's like if we have to get this type of shot to finish the scene, then we won't. But by having that as our mindset going into it, it does create kind of like the consistency of theme to me is the thing it draws the character, it draws the people into the world more so that they've bought into the characters, they understand what they're going through. You're able to see, you know, we have scenes that parallel each other at the beginning and at the end of the film so that you can see how much the character
visual parallels. Like a mirror, okay.
Exactly. So you can see, oh wow, this character was sitting on the couch eating pizza and drinking wine at the beginning of the film. And then now she's sitting on the side of the road having, you know, taking a break from biking around and training, eating a granola bar and out in the world and looking at the sky.
Right.
And you can see, you can feel that. There's something very subtle that you can feel when you're able to kind of make those connections and make that through line thematically.
And it makes it feel, even when you don't realize it, it makes it feel like full circle a little bit.
Exactly.
It feels whole. I think a lot of movies nowadays sort of miss that. In our sequel-driven, franchise-driven world, you drop in middle of the story sometimes and you leave before it's over. So I miss the self-contained, holistic feel. Bring it back, J. James. all right, so now we just went through the visualizing and the storyboarding. You mentioned the casting process with Kimberly from House of Cards.
Yeah, Kimberly Scrum, right. She did a phenomenal job. It was tough getting actors locally when we started looking because a lot of them were already working on Turn and some of the other stuff that was going on down in Richmond. So we were able to find some folks out of Philadelphia and New York and Los Angeles. We brought in thankfully, Jay was able to bring in Tim Reed from WKRP in Cincinnati. I hope it's not a conflict with the radio station.
I think, but, that's, I think it's off the air.
Right, right. Yeah. But so he was another on-site mentor for all of us. And then we brought in Chris Williams from people always say Chris Williams, a brother of Vanessa Williams, but he was in Dodgeball, and he's been on Larry David and some other
Can
great shows.
Can he dodge a wrench?
Yeah.
Can you dodge a wall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So so we had some very experienced actors on the set, but the casting process was kind of interesting because we had some great people said, do you get great triathletes to become actors or actors to become triathletes? Mm-hmm. We went with the latter. So we had great actors, and but as a coach, I want to make sure that they know how to swim, for example, because these people are going to be jumping into the Potomac River on an active race with 4,000 other racers. And it's not the time to jump into the water to let me know, can you swim or not? So we literally had them audition for that. We did callbacks, had them come back and audition again. And then I walked across the street to a pool in the near the casting director's place and I had them swim. I watched them swim to make sure that they weren't going to stand up because there's no standing up in the Potomac River.
Right.
So, and sure enough, some of them couldn't make it, but some of them, they did very, very well. I mean, all the actors in the movie, they all passed with flying colors. And we did some additional training.
No one drowned during casting.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
No. Exactly.
Good.
And we had to learn how to clip into bikes. And then to make. I mean, because people say, I've ridden a bike since I was a kid. It's like, okay. So then I put them on a tri bike, and it's like, where are the brakes?
Right.
I mean, I literally heard that many times as we were going down the street in rehearsals. And they said, well, Ted, where are the brakes? I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, again, we had to make sure they weren't going to hurt not only themselves, but other real athletes that were in these races.
Wow.
So, but it was fun. It was great folks.
So awesome. So all right. So then take me. You mentioned the Potomac. Are you? I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Are you shooting from afar on shore? Or is the camera getting in the water?
We are. So the nation's triathlon was. It was.
Yeah. How do you work around there? You know. Guardrails.
That was quite an experience, and that again gets back to the having Jindra on board, and then we also had a phenomenal first AD Greg White, who we had a whole side production unit just for the one day of shooting at the Nations Triathlon.
Oh, cool.
So they had their own UPM first AD, and then Jindra was corresponding with them while we were also shooting the rest of the film.
Gotcha.
And because we had one shot at everything.
Yeah.
Essentially. So we
want two crews to get everything. Yeah.
Well, we had more than two crews. We had more than two crews. It was really like a military operation. We had maps, we had plans, we had spreadsheets, we had schematics.
Wow.
It was wild. But we had cameras all over the place. We would send the actors out. This camera would get them from that angle. When they came back, another camera would get them from the other angle.
Yeah.
And it was all planned out.
We had swimmers actually swam the whole route with a GoPro on her head.
Oh, wow.
We had bikers around. We had folks on boats. It was a massive
that Jaws, like above water, below water.
We have a little bit of that. Nice. It's you know, there's the Nation's Try, which is the big ending of the film, which, you know, when I came on board and did my draft of the script, that sequence just kept ballooning and ballooning, because I think in the original script it was maybe 8 pages or so,
right?
And by the time I was done with it, 20 pages worth of stuff,
right.
And I was like, what idiot wrote a 20-page climax that would take place during a live triathlon with 4,000 competitors and 20,000 spectators around? Like, what? Who would do such a thing?
And then you looked in the mirror.
Exactly. I looked in the mirror and I said,
grin.
Yeah, there it is. Let me tell you, director Jay often very much dislikes writer Jay. It's like, who wrote this?
And producer Ted also disliked director Jay. I'm sure it was great. Take me into post then. Take me into editor Jay. No, I'm sure it wasn't editor Jay. Who edited it, and what was that like, you know, going through different cuts?
So the film was edited by Chris Allen Williams.
Where's he based?
He's based out of Richmond.
Okay.
He has a editing, a post-production facility called Madbox Post that's based out of Richmond, Virginia. And the thing I love about Chris, I've collaborated with Chris many times. I usually edit all of my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for a feature and for something that, that's this big, I thought it would be wise to have an editor. And so the thing I love about Chris is himself a director. He directs commercials. He directed a feature about 10 years ago. He thinks like a director.
Right.
And so having that mindset as an editor really brought a lot of he brought a lot of things to the table when he was editing. So we wrapped in October, beginning of October.
How long was the shoot first before we go into
We did a 4-day shoot in the middle of August at the first two triathlons.
Okay.
And then we took 3 weeks to kind of do another round of pre-production for the bigger shoot.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And then that was another 3 weeks of filming. So I think we wound up at, 24, 25 days? I think we had one more day of pickups in October. So so we wrapped in October, sent all the stuff, all the footage down to Richmond. And then Chris went to work and cut together, you know, we broke into three reels, three 30-minute reels. And so, you know, he cut them together and sat down. And it was, everyone always talks about on your first film, you have like that first cut where you look at it and you say, oh my goodness, what have I done?
I'm sure it's a common experience.
That's what everyone says. We didn't have that on this. Even from the first cut, it was, you know, there were definitely things. It was much longer than the actual film wound up being, and it was much slower in certain areas. But I didn't have, and maybe because I was expecting it, I was bracing myself for it. But it was really, was like, okay, cool. We've got something now. Let's go to work and let's dial it in and let's massage this. And the one thing that, again, about Ted as a first time producer himself, because like I've done short films, I understand the process and
music
all that.
Videos.
I've done music
stuff,
videos, the whole thing. So I understand the process and all. A lot of times they warn you about first time producers when they see that first cut or they see something that's unfinished or
like a freak out moment.
They freak out.
Yeah.
Ted was great about not doing that. He was not afraid of how the sausage is made.
He got he kept the eye on the bigger picture.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And
congrats to you, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm sure you made a budding director feel very comfortable in that regard.
No, he definitely did. He definitely did. So it was a great process through the editing and the sound mix. And
when did you get it locked? When was it?
We locked it. When did we lock it? February?
Yes, I think so.
Gotcha.
We locked it like mid-February.
Cool. Well, before we wrap this up, I do want to find out, you know, take me back, because I heard about when he grew up, but take me back to early Jay. You grew up in Richmond, and, you know, what was the first movie you made? What movies inspired you as a kid? That sort of thing.
Okay, so I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and when I was younger, I always wanted to be loved telling stories. I wanted to be a novelist originally.
Really?
I wanted to just write. I started off as a writer. And then two things happened very close to each other, within a year of each other. One, I got invited to go to the Southern Mystique Film Camp, which was held at New Millennium Studios in Petersburg, Virginia, which was the film studio that Tim and Daphne Reed built in outside of Richmond, Virginia. And I just fell in love with filmmaking. Yeah. That was where, you know, I had my first real film classes and someone showing, you know, some like this clip of classics. I was 15 years old, 15 or 16 years old. And and I just fell in love with the medium. And then I saw a film called Finding Forrester.
Yeah, remember it.
Which, it was the first time that I saw someone on screen that I said, that's me. I was Jamal at the time. I wanted to write. I was a writer. And I didn't quite fit in everywhere. And I played basketball, but I wasn't a basketball player. I wanted to be. And there was all of these things where it's like, you know, as a young black kid growing up in Richmond, all these things in that film that I related to. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to make movies. like that. And mm-hmm. That's what inspired me to start.
Do you remember the first one you made? Did you have any early outing that
I so
it's just the, ridiculously, you know, gritty
so
and
the,
bad? But
the first one I made, okay, so the first movie I wrote was at New Millennium for the film camp.
Oh, right, okay.
And I wrote this film because I said, we have a movie studio. Let's use every bit of right. the movie studio. So I did a behind the scenes at a movie studio type film where
was
it's like
called this one time at film camp.
Yeah, so it should have been called. But it was about this general manager at a studio who's trying to all these different shoots are happening all over the studio, and he's trying to like problem solve and put out fires and all of this. And then someone else directed it, and I didn't agree with all of the choices they made, mm-hmm. which at that point I said, okay, well, I'm going to have to start directing right. things. Mm-hmm. And then in high school, I made a film as part of my digital video class that was about this kid who wasn't doing well in school, and he was just trying to get the approval of his parents or something. And he has this dream sequence where he winds up locked in a jail or something. It's which again, it's I like to look at early films. I looked at what resources I had, right. and I would like, write stories around that. Right. So I had access to I could right. get into a jail. So I said, right. let's film in there, you know. Right. So yeah, and so then I would start making these films and screening them for audiences as much as possible. There's this thing called Project Resolution in Richmond, which you could go every month and just sign up and just show your film and get feedback. And then the next month you show another one. And so then you would go and I would instantly see if the film was working or not. You could tell by the vibe of the audience, or if I made a comedy, if they laughed or not. Right. Like, it was instant feedback. Right. And then I it was like, oh, it was almost like building a stand-up set, you know? Right. And so then I would build my voice by saying, like, okay, what works and what doesn't work? You know, this joke works because of this. This joke doesn't work because of this. And then you know, kind of building what my voice was and what my skill set was as a filmmaker.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
And building up, you got to AU. Where'd you go to undergrad?
I went to Hampton University.
Okay.
And
Did you study film?
I was an English major.
Okay. Well, there, yeah, the novelist. There you go. AU, right, master's, MFA in film.
MFA in film from AU.
And through one of those professors at AU reaching out on social media, he gets Try. So there you go.
Yeah, there it is.
And
there
you, sir, your pet project. If not for you, none of this would be possible.
He's doing exactly. Dave's a phenomenal person to work with. Yeah.
So what's next for Try now? So it screens at this festival in Northern Virginia and Fairfax.
Northern Virginia International Film Festival. It's in the Angelica Theater in Fairfax. And then we're looking to go theatrical. So we're going to be rolling it out at different triathlons, Ironman races, 70.3 races, local triathlons and running events, marathons, because we know our niche market very, very well. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just to get it started, and then we go beyond that. So it'll be doing a theatrical run this summer, and then we go digital. So video awesome. On demand, iTunes, Amazon, things of that nature.
Do we have those distribution deals worked out, or is that still to happen?
It's in a way, it's worked itself out. We're distributing ourselves. We do have folks from overseas that have expressed interest in giving us contracts to distribute in certain countries. But we're not waiting for anybody. It's just a time to just get on with it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then what's next? Do you have any other projects, either of you, in the hopper?
Yeah, we got a slate of films coming.
We're working on building a slate. I've got I'm writing on some. I'm doing some rewrites on some projects and consulting on some things. And
cool,
you know, just trying to stay busy, trying to keep this momentum going.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, be sure to keep us updated when the next one comes down.
Absolutely.
But for now, it's all about Try.
Let's
get out and see it. It's Tuesday at the Northern Virginia International Film Festival. Is that right?
Okay. Yes.
At the Angelica Film Center in Mosaic in Fairfax. Beautiful theater. Sounds like a really cool film. And, you know, one of my favorite former colleagues at AU. So come check it out. Local success story, if nothing else. And hopefully you enjoy the movie, too. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.